Let me start off with, I want to redirect a little bit. I love secrets. Most people like secrets. I like, have you ever played games that had secret code or secret events? And if you go to down, hit this button longer, it opens up things that you didn't realize. Most people don't realize that in the kingdom of God, there are secrets. Many people who approach the Word of God casually miss out on all the secrets that are in the kingdom of God and the Word of God. Where do I get that? Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things of the Lord belong to him, but the things revealed belong to us and our children. Yes. The Bible says that God has secrets, and that when he reveals them, that's the ownership. That's how we get a hold of revelation that brings ownership into our life, is when we get understanding from those secrets. It's the revealed word of God. Say, God has secrets. Proverbs 25:2, and this won't be on the screen, just listen for a few minutes. Proverbs 25:2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. It is the honor of a king to search out. You are king and priest of the Most High God. God sets things up and he brings them in secrets. Even Jesus taught in parables. And when asked, why do you teach in parables? He said, it's not for everybody, but it's for you to understand the secrets of the kingdom. The, King James says, the mysteries of the kingdom. That's the secret things. God has secrets that give you, when you understand the mysteries, when you understand the secrets, it gives you the head start, advancement abilities that God has for you. But they're there, but not obvious to everybody. So they're not available to those who don't recognize them. You can cry and say, God has it, and God says, I've already done it. In Hebrews, he says he's completed all things, and he's in a place of rest. All things have been done. He's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Many times in our prayer, and we've done a whole series on this, many times in our prayers, if we're not careful, we'll be asking God for something with the expectation that he has to do it, not realizing he's already done it through Jesus. At the cross of Calvary, everything's been completed. The Bible says that all things, that he's given us all things that pertain into life and godliness. Therefore, the Bible tells us that the promises of God to us are yea and amen, which means approved, and so be it, completed. You say, God, I need you to do this. God, help me to get a better job. God, help me to get out of debt. God, help me to be healed. God, help me to find my spouse. God, help me. Everything that you could ever ask for in alignment with the promise of God's word has already been completed. God doesn't have to go create it for you. It's already done and already given. But we miss out because we don't understand the secret to that area, the mystery. The kingdom of God operates by principles. And Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the things that the world would want and go after, you will have, it'll come to you. Don't get quiet on me. That's why many people don't have this, because they don't push. Jesus said, you got to keep asking, keep knocking, keep why? Because there has to be something within us that want to push through to get hold of the secret so we can have understanding. It has to be revealed. See, it's not just information, it's revelation. Matthew 13 says that when the word goes forth, it has to be received with understanding to get in our heart. Romans tells us it's in the heart that we believe. And so for the word to get in our heart, we need understanding. Psalms 119 says the entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Colossians tells us that I want you to know the will of God with wisdom and spiritual understanding. Understanding is a spiritual dynamic that happens when the word of God's been revealed to you. Yes. No eye has not seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love them, but he has revealed them to us by his spirit. And so for us to access what God has for us, already prepared for us, through Jesus on the cross of Calvary, that covenant, we have to begin to embrace and access the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom. Amen. The mysteries of the word of God. And they don't come casually. The Bible says, come to me. When we pursue him with all our heart, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Amen. Thank you for the three amen for that. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Yes. God's not trying to hide it. He keeps it in obscurity because it's not available to the casual onlooker. Those who are flippant with the things of God don't receive the things of God. Those who are casual with the things of God and try to do it around him never access what God has for them. Why? Because in their perspective, there's like, well, if he wants me to have it, I'll have it. And it doesn't work for you. And people that it doesn't work for, what after the process of time, they begin to redefine the word of God and say, well, God doesn't do that anymore. Why? Because if God would have done that, he would have done it for me already. And they get mad at God and redefine the word of God because of their own personal experience. Instead of being humble and being what the Bible says, meek, which means available to learn, instead of backing up and saying, God, I know what your word says. It's not lining up to what I'm experiencing. What am I missing? Because it must be me, because the devil's under my feet and you're above my head and you've put your hand a blessing according to Psalms. You are before me and behind me and laid your hand a blessing upon me. Therefore, something's missing. It's got to be something. God's word says my people are destroyed for a lack of. What am I missing? I need to know the mystery to that area of my life. I need to know the mystery. I need to know the mystery. Come unto me and I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. There's mysteries in the kingdom that allow us to step into those areas that God has for us. Yeah. One of those mysteries I want to talk about today, and there's many, obviously, that have to be revealed, just not informed, but revealed. You ought to pray before you walk into church. Open my eyes, Father God, so that I can see what you want me to see. Open my ears. Jesus talked a lot about he that had ears to hear. There wasn't physical ears because there was a lot of people around Jesus that had ears, physical ears, and they could hear, but they didn't understand it. They saw, but they did not perceive it. Why? Because there was no spiritual connection. Their heart wasn't right because the Bible says that in him was life, and that life, John 3, was the light of men. And men chose darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The condition of your heart when you walk in is the dictating factor of your ability to receive from God. You can walk in and say, let's get this over with. I want to go to lunch. And God could be moving tremendously. Tremendously to the person next to you, and you miss out because your mind and your heart's not right. Those who hunger and thirst, hunger and thirst, those who hunger and thirst, those who hunger and thirst, when you're hungry enough, you'll move toward it. He prepares a table of provision. He prepares a table for you in the midst of your enemies, but he's not going to force feed you, child of God. He's not going to force feed. He's not going to put your head in a headlock and take a spoon and cram it. He's not going to do like a mother does to a baby and keep, as you spit it out, keep wiping it off your chin and cramming it back in. Listen, I would think if I didn't like it the first time, the second time's not going to be any better. It's already been decided. This is not good. We thought it was just babies being babies until you try some of that green bean stuff. It don't taste like green beans. I don't know where they're growing their green beans at, but it is not, something's wrong with this system. It don't taste right. Maybe it's not the baby. Maybe it's the food. God's not going to force feed you. But when you come to the table of God and say, Lord, I'm hungry. I want to know. Lord, I'm thankful for what you've done in my life, but I want to know what you have for me. Help me to see if there's something missing in my life that I do not know, that's a hindrance into my life. Like I shared before about a month ago, it's like having a rubber band on your arm. And kids, we've done this when we were young. And after a while, all of a sudden that hand starts, the blood stops circulating and that hand starts tingling. Like, ooh, that's fun. And then it starts getting numb. And you're like, ooh, that's interesting. And you know what I mean? It changes in colors. It's just all weird experience. And if you stayed that way, you can begin to pray, oh God, return my hand back to normal. Oh God, send more blood into my fingers. I can't feel them anymore, Lord. They're numb. Lord, sin, take the numbness away. Some of us have spent years of our life praying in some area. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's in your health. Maybe it's in your perspective. Oh God, restore it back to newness. Oh God, give me what I'm missing. And God's saying, the system's set up for you to have all that you'll ever need because he's the God of more than enough. All you got to do is remove the restriction that's hindering you from having all that already belongs to you. And when the restriction's removed, some of you are like, it's still numb. Give it time. Give it time. The blood is beginning to flow. Things going to feel a little different at first. Why? Because they're not used to that lifeblood coming to that area. They're not used to that area getting the blood that was designed for it to get. All of a sudden, but give it time, and it'll work the way it's supposed to work. Can I get an amen? Amen. We need to be praying, open my eyes, God, to any restriction that would hinder me from your presence, any restriction that would hinder me from you, any restriction that would hinder me from destiny, any restriction. I don't want to miss an opportunity on a given day. Oh, God, help me to walk this thing out in perfect step, in perfect alignment. I know I'm still learning, and I know I'm going to make mistakes, and I know I'm going to miss it. And when I miss it, I'm going to pray and repent, 1 John 1:9. And you're faithful and just to forgive and cleanse me. But, oh, God, show me, open my eyes where I'm at today, where I need to make a turn. Too many people are copying somebody else's path, but if they're 5 miles ahead of you on the journey of life, you can learn from them, but you don't want to take all the steps they're taking. You got to get back to your level of faith, Romans 12, and operate in this journey of life at your level of faith where you're at. If you're a toddler, you don't want to run like you're an adult. The first time you go to the gym, you don't want to try to do the workout of someone who's a professional bodybuilder. Because it takes time to develop. It takes time to get to that place of development. Some of us, well, I'm just going to do exactly what they're doing. Yeah, and that bar is going to crush your chest when you try to bench 500 pounds. You're not developed for that. You might just need to start out with a bar with no weights. Let them laugh, but you keep doing it, and one day you'll add a little weight. Let them laugh. You keep doing it. One day you'll add more weight. Let them laugh, and you keep doing it, and one day you're going to add more and more weight. Let them laugh, and you keep doing it, one day they're going to say, how did you get so strong? They weren't there when you were doing the small things that people didn't think was important, but you stuck with it, and you woke up and said, Lord, just show me what step today I need to take. You can't run a mile in a moment. You got to learn to take a step. Some of us are waiting for God to bring out the miraculous moment, and you won't take a step toward destiny. Well, I'll give when God makes me rich. I'm not going down that road of offerings behind you. 5 years later, I'm still waiting for Jesus to do it. Okay. John chapter 10, verse 9. And here's a mystery. And here's a mystery. King James says, and this is Jesus talking, I am the door. Read that with me, will you? 1, 2, 3, go. All right. Now we've read this verse before. Jesus saying, I'm the doorway. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'm the doorway. There's no other doorway. He's the doorway. And he goes on to say here, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. Salvation's through Jesus. Salvation's not through Muhammad. Salvation is not through Allah. Salvation is not through any other religion. Salvation's through and only through Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. You can put every bumper sticker you want on every car you can find that says, let's all coexist and there's got to be more than one way to heaven, and it doesn't make it so. The word of God is true. The word of God is eternal, Psalms 119. Yes. Let all men be liars and God be true. The only way through salvation is through Jesus. Can I get a better amen? But usually we've stopped there. And notice how it says afterwards. So the condition to this is salvation. He goes on and says, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now wait a minute, that can't be salvation at that point, because he said shall go in. Now if he would have stopped there, I would have said, oh yeah, that's probably referring to salvation. But he didn't stop with going in. He also referred to going out. That is not what he's talking about, the traditional Christian that goes to church on Sunday and prays the Lord and repents, and then on Friday they sin and go back, and then on Sunday they come back and repent, and on Friday they go back out and sin, and they do a cycle. That's not what he's talking about. Because that life, according to the word of God, produces death and lack and emptiness. For the wages of sin is what? And James says, anyone who is unstable, that means going double-minded, going two different ways, any person that is double-minded is unstable and will not receive anything from the Lord. So that's not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about, he says that we'll find pasture. Now, the word pasture in the original text literally means that all the needful supplies for true life. He will find all the needful supplies for true life. That's the Zoe quality of life that God has for you. He will find everything he needs for the life that God's provided for him. Now, you have to find out what life has God provided. Well, that's where you get into the promises of the Word of God. And when that reveals from the New Testament what God's provided, then you say, okay, that's available to me because of Jesus. Now I need to enter in. If I don't enter in, even though I'm saved, if you're not saved, you can't enter in.
Right.
Stay with me. If I'm not saved, I can't enter in. You can say it this way. If I'm not part of the covenant, I don't get the benefits of the covenant.
Come on.
Right? But when I'm saved, I'm in the new covenant. And when I'm saved, I can enter in. Because I'm saved, I'm qualified to enter in. But God won't push me in. God never pushes. The devil always pushes. The Holy Spirit leads.
Yes.
We're led by the Spirit.
Amen.
So God's not going to push you in, but you can come in. Look to your neighbor and say, you're welcome to come in. You can see somebody that's walking by your house and say, hey, I just cooked dinner, and I want to invite you in to come eat. Well, you're not going to go drag them in and force feed them. No, but it's provided. It's available. It's when it's available, they have to step into it. Now, Jesus said, I'm the doorway. Anybody who comes to me shall be saved and shall enter in and out and find pasture. So that means I can come in and receive the needful supplies that I need for true life, and then I step back out. And if I need something that is necessity for true life that I don't already have, I can step back in. And receive what is the necessary ingredients for a true life, and then I can step back out. God's not going to force me to step in, but I have a right to step in. Stay with me, church, because there's a lot of people that go to church on Sunday who are so passive about the things of God that they have the mindset that if God wants me to have it, he's going to back up the truck and force me to take it. Beep, beep, beep. And they don't understand that there's a violent faith, that we have to get a hold of things and say, I'm going to pursue it because it's available to me. I have to learn to step into what God has for me. God doesn't drag you kicking and screaming into the promised land. You have to obey him, walk this thing out, Hebrews 4, walk this thing out by faith, inherit it by faith and patience, Hebrews 6:12 and Hebrews 11. Inherit it by faith and patience, walk this thing out, because faith is obeying, stepping this out. I have to step into, through the word of Jesus, step into what he has for me.
Amen.
If I was going to title today's title would be called The Secret Door to Strength. The secret door to strength. God doesn't want you weak. He wants you to be strong.
Amen.
Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous do what? Run into it and are safe. The righteous do what? They run into it. They step into it with some speed. You don't run until you're really serious about getting someplace. They don't casually stroll into it. They run into it. A lot of us are trying to get what God has, but we're casually approaching it and can't figure out why the door keeps being shut by the time we get there. You have to go after this thing. Matthew 25 talks about the 10 virgins. They were all virgins. They were all living together. But 5 had oil. 5 did not hear me, church, because we are coming to the last days. And what many Christians don't realize, that when the door is closed, it is closed. And the finality, and only the Father, Matthew 24, knows the time. And too many people think that they're right because they're living with people that are right. And they have no oil. And one day when the master calls and they said, I'll go get right. And they miss out because the time was not enough for them to make things right, to get the oil. And by the time they showed up to the door, it was closed. If you're casual about the things of God, casual about your walk with God, casual about your life with God, casual about your relationship with Jesus, oh, it should be good enough. I just give the Lord a couple hours on Sunday. That should be good enough. You are going to find yourself at a door locked and not wondering, why is it not opening up to me? And the reason is because you are not serious. It doesn't mean you have to be weird, but you have to keep him number one. Yeah. A lot of people don't want that. I could bring a crowd in like this and just encourage you, but everything's going to be okay. And Jesus loves you, and he does. God doesn't send people to hell. And good people don't go to heaven. Only forgiven people. People choose. Wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many find that. Narrow is the road that leads to life. When you are flipping it, I'll just do it. It's my life. I'll do what I want. I don't know who I'm talking to. And on Sunday, I'll go to church and I'll throw in some money and that should be good enough. You better just wonder, and you're wondering why things aren't working the way God says they can work. I'll tell you why. Because it's not important to you. Doesn't mean you have to act like somebody else. God knows your heart. God told Israel, you praise me with your lips, but your heart's far from me. You can fake it and make everybody think that you're making it, and the five foolish virgins thought they had it down. But God still said they were foolish. Yeah. Yep. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Another translation, the literal standard version says it this way. The name of Yahweh, the name of the Lord, is a tower of strength. The name of the Lord is a tower of strength. The name of the Lord, say the name of the Lord, is a tower of strength. So it's not only a strong tower, it's not only a place of strength, it's a place for strength. The name of the Lord is a tower of strength. The righteous run into it and are set on high. You say, well, okay, that's a nice imagery, metaphor, what does that mean? To understand more about the secret that we're talking about, we have to understand that the name of God or the name of the Lord represents the nature of God. When God wanted his people to know him, when he brought them out of Egypt and wanted them to know him, he began to do mighty works and begin to say, now begin to know me now as this. And he would give them different names. Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. Jehovah Rophi, Jehovah Tiskenu, the God of righteousness. He wanted them to know him by his nature. He wanted them to know him. The whole point of bringing Israel out and calling them to the top of the mountain was so that they could get to know him. And when God told Moses, it's time to bring my people so they can experience me, they said, we don't want to go. You go and tell us about it. Because the natural side of humanity is, I don't want to experience him. I just want to know him from a distance. Religion will position you to know him from a distance. Yep. I'm not into religion. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus. Because there's a lot of people that go to denominations of all kinds of different churches, all different title. And you know what I mean? And maybe some people here today. And you know him by distance, perspective, information, but you've never experienced him. The Word of God, New Testament, says that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. That I might know him by experience, just not by information. The Sadducees and Pharisees knew him by information, but they couldn't recognize him when he stood right in front of them. In the Gospel of John, New Living Translation, Jesus said to them, you think you have life because you've read over the scriptures, but those scriptures point to me. Life is just not about having information in your head. Life is about accessing and getting to experience and know who the one who is true life. Yes. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a tower of strength. The righteous run into it. God wants us to be strong. The name of the Lord is a place of not only of strength, for strength. The righteous run into it. If you're not hungry for this, you will not step into this. Oh, God, take my problems away. How about instead of God taking your problems away, you begin to follow the instruction of Joshua 1, 6 through 10 and begin to access strength You begin to walk this process out and begin to access strength. Do you know what is not a problem? The things that are too weak for you to handle. Oh, this is a big problem. Have you ever talked to somebody, maybe at your work? Oh, this is such a big problem. And they look at you and say, it's no problem. I've dealt with that before. I'll take care of it. Problem for you, no problem for them. Same situation, same issue, same giant. But for one, it's a problem. For another, it's not a problem. Why? Because one has strength and the other one does not. That strength might come from information, it might come from ability, it might, where it comes. One has strength, therefore they're confident. I can take this situation. I'll handle it. No big deal. David was a man who was confident about God to the point that he walked into the tent of the king and said, oh king, don't worry. Your servant David is here to take care of this problem. To everybody else, he was a giant. To David, he was an opportunity. To everybody else, he was the death at the end of the day. To David, he was an opportunity to prove that God is bigger than any giant. And for everybody else, it was, OMG, we can't handle this. To David, it was, the God who delivered me before will deliver you into my hands. Christians are filling their prayers up with God, remove the problem, instead of saying, God, empower me to handle this problem. If we fulfilled every prayer that was ever answered for most people, they would be in a little blow-up bubble. Oh, God, let everybody love me. Everybody agree with me. Everybody do what I want them to do. Everything go my way. Everybody give. Lord, just let everything just be perfect and easy with no challenges. And they think that should be the answer to their prayers. What if it was regardless of what the natural provides or produces or tries to prevent in my life? God, empower me. Let me to step into a level of strength that regardless that it might be a storm that makes the disciples freak, but to Jesus, it was an opportunity to stand up and display authority. It might be a disease that makes everybody cry and, oh, we got to send that leper to the leper camp, but to Jesus, it was an opportunity to display the compassion and healing power of God. Well, all of a sudden, if we begin to live our lives not with, I'm trying to hide from any challenges, but oh God, I represent you as an ambassador on this earth. Let me be a light. Let me be a light. Let me be a light. Let me be a city on a hill that cannot be denied. Oh God, do the impossible through me. Amen. We want the reward of killing a giant, but we never want to run to the giant that must be killed. And the Bible says that David, when he approached Goliath, he didn't walk, he didn't crawl, he ran. He was letting them know that you are intimidating to everybody, but not me. We have been intimidated by the devil, intimidated by demons, intimidated by pressure, intimidated by problems. And God said, wait a minute, I am the God of more than enough. If you are my child, let me reflect me through you. What would happen if we approach life from the perspective that I refuse to be intimidated? Yeah. And when I feel intimidation, I go back into the word where Jesus said, come through me. He is the word, John 1:14, John 1:1. And I begin to step into that. Lord, right now I'm feeling intimidated, but I'm not moved by what I'm feel, hear, or see. So I need to get this essential, necessary ingredients for me to access life that you have for me. Not something that God doesn't have for you. Not something that you're making up, but you begin to find in the word what belongs to you. And you begin to step into that. Lord, I'm going to step into that strength that belongs to me through you. I'm going to step into the healing that belongs to me through you. I'm going to step in that blessing that belongs to me through you. I'm going to step into what you have for me, what you have prepared for me, all things that you have given me that deal with life and godliness. I'm going to step into that.
Yes.
Yeah. Came across my, you know, you go through Instagram and YouTube and Facebook and all these different ones, TikTok. I came across a video of a guy who was, he was bashing another preacher, and I thought his logic was really whacked, if you ask, in my opinion. And because that preacher believed that God wanted you to be blessed, and he said, oh, he should never preach that because there's so many Christians in the world that are poor. You should never preach that. And my thought was, if everybody was poor, and the Bible says you don't have to be poor, wouldn't you define the word by the truth of the word and not by the situation at hand?
Right.
I mean, I'm so glad David didn't say, well, that's a giant, nobody wants to fight him. I guess we're going to lose again. No, David said, wait a minute, the word of God, there's a covenant here. You would think that if we're supposed to follow the word of God, that the word of God is a light, and that we're to be that light as a reflection of the truth of the word, and that the need of the light would be to those who are in darkness, right? So if everybody was sick and the word of God says that you're to be healed, then wouldn't you think that teaching on the word, the New Testament, about the healing power of God should be important for those who are still struggling in the battles of healing and health?
Right.
Come on now, don't get quiet on me.
Yeah.
This is not your bad person. This is, we're all real people dealing with real challenges in life. And you might say, oh, I don't deal with that, but I guarantee you 10-minute conversation, I can find something in your life you're dealing with, because we're all walking this thing out by faith.
Right.
Your challenge in battlefield might not be in the area of healing and health. It might be in finances. It might be in relationship. It might be peace of mind. It might be rest. It might be in joy. I don't know. I'm not your Jesus. But the word of God begins to speak to us through the New Testament. And when it's darker outside, the light should be brighter. We should be preaching more about what the, oh, God doesn't heal anymore. You need to get away from people who say that. God doesn't heal anymore. That stopped with the disciples. Really, where's that scripture in the Bible? 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes you were healed.
Amen.
Healing and health. Say healing and health. All you have to do is look at the Gospels, even when Jesus was ministering to people. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? And please, side note, challenge every idea I say with the word of God. You challenge it. Don't embrace it because I said it. You challenge it on your own time. But the woman with the issue of blood, right? And she pressed toward through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment and said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I know I shall be whole. And Jesus felt virtue leave his body, right? And said, who touched me? And the disciples said, Lord, there's so many people. There's a lot of people touching. Oh, no, somebody touched me, and I felt virtue leave, healing leave.
Yeah.
And because he kept pressing the moment, she finally fell down at his feet and began to worship him and said, it was me, and explained the situation. And Jesus said to her, daughter, thy
faith
has made you whole. Why would I say that? Well, if faith is connected to healing, receiving healing, and people say that healing's no longer available, then aren't they saying by logical flow, if one's true and two's true, then therefore the conclusion should be valid? So if God's not healing anymore, and we receive healing through the process of faith, therefore faith is no longer available? And if faith's no longer available, we can't please God, because the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please them, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Right.
In fact, let's go a little further. If there's no faith, then you can't even be saved, because the Bible tells us that we're saved by grace through faith.
Right.
Oh, well, there's still faith. Well, if there's still faith, then there must be still healing. How are we doing? You doing okay?
Yeah.
The righteous run into it and they are saved. The righteous run into it. They go in and out. How do we enter? How do we step into this? Psalms chapter 100, verse 4. Have you heard this verse before? Enter into his gates. Wait. Stop it. So do what? No, I need you all to read it with me. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Wait. Stop. I want us all to do this together. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Wait. What's that first word? To enter somewhere, I must leave something to go with motion and effort into something else. I must enter. That's a motion. See, if we're waiting for God to back up the truck and we don't change and nothing changes and we don't do anything and God force feeds us, it don't work. But when I'm willing to move away from something, come on, stick with me. Abram, I want you to leave where you are. I want you to leave where you are and step into where I'm taking you. Motion. Say motion. That means action. That means you're doing something. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Stay with me. Be what? Thankful unto him and bless his name. Bless his name. I'm going to be thankful unto him and I'm going to bless his name. What is his name? It's the nature of God. Exodus 15:26, I'm the God that heals you. Matthew 15:26, that healing is bread for the children. What is the nature of God that you're approaching him and begin to worship him? Bless his name. Bless his name. Well, I don't know what the Bible says. Well, maybe that's a problem because you receive everything from faith. And faith, Romans 10:17, comes from hearing the word of God. It doesn't come by crying. It doesn't come by wanting. It doesn't come by needing. It doesn't come from pressure. It doesn't come from striving. It comes by faith. And that comes from the word of God. I enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. I'm thankful, be thankful unto him, but it's not done yet. Be thankful. He hasn't done it yet. Be thankful. You want it done. You got to learn to be thankful. Not for the problem, but for the solution. And the solution is always God. His word, his truth, it's found in Jesus. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. This is not God bless you after someone sneezes. Bless his name. Bless. Matthew 6:9, Jesus said it this way. When they asked him how to pray, teach us how to pray. What was the whole beginning thing? Our Father. Come on, you know this. I mean, anybody who's ever been in church, you just watch sinners who never go to church and run into a life-threatening situation on a plane, and everybody in the whole plane simultaneously goes into our Father, which are, I don't know why they think that's going to help the plane in the moment. Our Father, which art in heaven. Notice our what? Our Father. Our what? Oh, help me, Jesus, on time. Stop the sun for 10 minutes, Lord Jesus. Our what? Our Father. What you miss out on a lot of times when we read the Bible too quickly is the understanding that your relationship with God, because he wants you to know him, he wants you to know him as Father. You are the only creation that can call him Father. You understand that? Angels can't call him Father. The devil can't call him Father. They understand him as Creator. Let me give you something to study on your own time. This is all the way back to the garden, okay? The devil hates it that you can call him Father. He hates it that you have a will and you, because your ability to choose and have a will is part of the nature of God in you. He didn't have a choice. When he sinned, it was over. When angels rebelled, it was over. They don't get a chance to repent. Jesus didn't die for them. He died for you. You're the children of God. All right, are you with me? Let me show you the power of this. It's studied out in your own time in the Hebrew, in Genesis, when the devil showed up at the garden, right? You would think when the devil showed up and began to talk to Eve, that any normal person would freak out that a snake is talking to him, right? I mean, if your dog starts talking to you and gives you a dissertation on the scripture from Sunday, you need to first think, have I just freaked out, right? Come on, somebody, be real with me. Unless, and there is a great possibility, go ahead and answer your phone, or turn it off, or whatever. Unless there's a possibility, which I kind of think there is, that maybe animals could talk. I don't know, but you would think it's strange that that all of a sudden a serpent is, don't worry about that, it's not your phone, that a serpent is talking to Eve. But anyway, and he says to her, the King James says it this way, did God say? Stay with me. And she said, yes, God said we could neither touch it or eat the fruit of it. Yeah. Not talking about the tree of knowledge, right? Now, for the most part, if you look at that throughout the context of that verse, you'll see the word the Lord God and you'll see the word God. And the devil came because the word God in there is literally means creator. The phrase the Lord God is the Father, Father God, right? New Testament says that we have received the Spirit by adoption, thereby not by fear, but by the adoption, and we can boldly enter the throne crying, Abba. It all working. And so the devil approached her and said basically this way, did the creator say you couldn't eat of this tree? And she said, yes, the creator said. He knew he had her at the moment. Because she didn't know him as Jehovah the Father. She knew him as creator. She responded to him as the creator, not as the father. Father is relationship. Creator is the existence of one who's over powerful created you. She said to the devil, yes, the creator said. He knew he had her because she was out of relationship. She did not know him. There's a lot of church people that don't know him. She said, yes, the creator said. And then she said, the creator said that we shall not eat it nor touch it. Where in the text of when God was talking to Adam did he ever say they could not touch it? She not only did not know him, she did not know what he said. She did not know his nature, his character. Because she did not know him, she thought he would try to keep something from her. Therefore, because she didn't know his nature, she didn't know his name. And she was like, oh, yeah, the creator said. He had her at the moment she said, creator. And he stuck it out and said, yes, the creator knows. Anytime the devil's trying to get you and convince you about somebody, about God, it's because you don't know him in the right manner. If someone came to you and if you were good friends with somebody and you knew them, you've known them for 50 years, you know their character, you know their nature, and they would never do anything bad, and someone begins to gossip, do you know what they did? You'd be like, no, I guarantee you, I know them. They would not do that. I can vouch for their character. They would not do that. They would not do that. See, if you don't know him, then all you take is someone who said, it's an act of God, and God killed those little children. Oh, that's such a horrible thing. But when you know him, you say, wait a minute. He's not the God of death. He's the God of life. He would not do that. And bless his name. Bless his name. Bless. Begin to bless him by his nature. We run into his name. We run into this place of strength by beginning to worship him and bless him for who he is. Why am I thankful? Not because it's already been solved, but because he's the solution to everything that needs to be solved. He is the solution to everything that needs to be solved. This is not just a church on Sunday, a spiritual goosebump solution. This is a problem on Monday, and the boss said, we might have to let you go. Things are slowing down. This is a problem on Tuesday when the doctor says you need to come in 2 weeks. What I saw in the report doesn't look good. Don't you love it? And praise God for the medical field. We have doctors in the house. But don't you just love the medical field that'll give you a little bit of negativity over the phone and says, I can't tell you over the phone. You need to come into my office. I saw something on the report. And for 2 weeks, you are stressing out. It's a lie of the devil to torment you. What do I do? What's the practical thing? I begin to bless his holy name. Psalms 103. Are you ready? I'm going to put you to work. Here's my challenge. You need strength. We all need strength. And you got the holidays coming up. You got Thanksgiving coming up, which means you're going to be around people you love. And some people you might not love so much. Now, I'm excluded because I love my family. Amen. They're in the building, so I have to say that. No. And you might be like, oh, I'm not looking forward to this. Whatever reason. Why don't you approach it with a place of strength? You walk in not stressed out. You're in peace. You're not in weakness. You're in strength. You're not going to be rattled. Oh, they're always making those cutting remarks. It gets to the, well, let it get to the place where it doesn't bother you. You keep wanting those people not to show up. Why don't you rise above the problem where it's not a problem any longer to you? And what used to rattle your cage or push your button or cause you to freak out or say things you regret, all of a sudden it doesn't move you. Instead of praying, God, just let them be sick for today and not show up. Why don't you say, Lord, I want to bless them. And if they show up and act foolish, I thank you, Father God, for supernatural strength on the inside. Hallelujah. Amen. Since when do we allow crazy people to affect our peace? heard a preacher say once, never let small-minded people challenge big-minded plans.
Amen.
Are you ready? Psalms 103, and I'm closing. Psalms 103, verse 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I just love preachers that think that there's no benefit in serving him. Moving right along. Verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities. What a benefit. Say, what a benefit. Listen, you ought to walk the halls of your apartment or house or condo and just spend time. Father, I just want to thank you that you're the forgiver. I thank you for your mercy. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. I don't have to live under condemnation. Romans 8, I'm free from the past. Do you know there's Christians that love Jesus going to heaven, but they can't move into what God has for them because the devil reminds them where they've been. That what keeps them from their future is the past and the memory of the past that the devil throws at them and tells them, you're not good, you're not important, God doesn't love you that way. You're second rate because of where you came out of. But I'm here to tell you that the blood of Jesus has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. He's forgiven you. He cleansed you. In fact, the Bible tells us in the New Testament that the blood of Jesus purges your evil conscience of dead works so that you could serve the living God. That's King James. What does that mean? It means that the blood of Jesus has the power to remove the effect of your memory of your past so that you can step into who God's called you to be. And when you get with maybe family that you don't care so much and are like, who do you think you are acting like that? You're acting high and mighty like you're important. You're not important. I knew, hey, that's what they did to Jesus. Don't worry about that. Don't you worry about that. Just smile and say, God bless you anyway, and let it go because you're not there to come to their level. You're living at the level that God called you to live at. Woo, he's your forgiver. Thank you, Father. We bless you. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you that you are faithful and just. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives you of all your iniquities, who heals you of all diseases. Woo! He is the God who heals you. But I'm feeling. Don't worry about what you feel. Be thankful. Bless his name. Bless his name. The change happens on the inside before it happens on the outside. You say, well, it hasn't happened yet. Have you been spending time blessing him in the area as your healer? The Bible says that Jesus is the high priest of your profession. And the profession means confession. If you're walking around calling yourself sick, you can't wonder why he's not healing you. You ought to say, Lord, I thank you that Jesus, you are my healer. Not only your healer, he's your health. Oh, I'm afraid of getting sick. Not if you're having health. Lord, I thank you. I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and I will fear no evil. Why? 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 Because you are with me. Listen to me, I'm not going to be political, and I'm not going to tell you one side or the other. You have to, Romans 12, you have to walk this thing out. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me, church? I love you. But if you think, and I'm not for or against, I'm not here to make your decision. I'm not your mommy, I'm not your Jesus. Get information and you walk it out by faith, Romans 12, and I love you one way or the other. But if you think that you will have peace of mind because of a vaccination, you are fooling yourself. Get vaccinated, don't get vaccinated. It's between you and Jesus. It does not make a difference to me. But if you are doing it so you have peace of mind, then you have this mentality that the medical device will solve it. And I'm telling you, they are already recruiting some back because they made a mistake. Don't worry about it. I'm not telling you not to get vaccinated. I'm telling you, your peace and your confidence should be on who's with you. Use wisdom. But don't let that, anything you do, cause you to do out of fear or give you the rest. The rest comes from the word of God. Because, are you listening? COVID's not the first virus, and it won't be the last virus. Now, you get vaccinated, don't get vaccinated. I don't care, wear a mask, don't wear a mask. I don't know, around here, we just love people. Do you make people wear a mask? No, and I don't make people not wear a mask. I just love people where they're at. If they want to wear a mask, then I'm happy for them. They don't want to. Do you see the point? The point is, don't let anything from the natural give you that peace that only comes from God.
Amen.
I'm going to walk down the hallway and say, Father, I thank you. You are the healer. You are health. You are life. I thank you, Father God, that your life is flowing through my veins and through my body. I thank you. I'm not moved by what I feel here or see. I'm moved by your word of God. I thank you for the covenant of healing. 1 Peter 2:24 says that by your stripes I was, therefore I am healed. Thank you, Father God, that you are the healer. I thank you. Healing belongs to us as covenant children. Matthew 15:26. I thank you, Father God. You are the healer. Exodus 15:26. Also, Father, I thank you. I love Exodus 15:26 and Matthew 15:26 because the same chapter, same verse, easy to remember. One says he's your healer, one says it's your covenant as his child. Who heals you from all diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. Wow, that means he's purchased you back from destruction. Where the enemy says, I'm going to kill you. He has no right. When you understand your authority. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies, verse 5, your mouth with good things. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Wow. I'm going to bless his name. I'm going to walk the halls and begin to lift my hands and say, Father, I thank you. You are the all-sufficient one. I thank you, Father. What a pleasure it is to depend on you for even my financial prosperity. Father, I thank you. I don't care what the stock market is doing. I don't care what the economy is doing. I don't care what my boss is saying. You are my source. Amen. Begin to give them things. Give them things. Did you hear me? Come on. I want you to take the next 60 seconds, and that's not long. We'll spend 2 hours crying and complaining. Take the next 60 seconds. Raise your hands. I'm not used to. Just surrender your hands. Lift your hands to the Lord. It's a thing of surrender. I mean, if someone came to you, God forbid, in the streets, on the sidewalk, and pulled out a gun and said, hands up, you wouldn't say, I'm sorry, I don't believe that way. And take the next 60 seconds and begin to give him thanks. Out of your mouth. Let him... Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are. Give him thanks for who he is. Give him thanks for who he is. Whatever you're needing, he's your source, your supply. Give him thanks for who he is. You need wisdom. Father, I thank you that you are the source of wisdom. I thank you, Jesus, for insight and understanding in every situation. I thank you, Father God. I don't know how to solve this problem. Father, I thank you that you are the wisdom of God unto me. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for wisdom. Thank you for healing. Thank you for whatever it is. Hallelujah. We bless your name. We bless your name. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, holy is your name. We bless your name. You bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. Hallelujah. We bless your name. Come on, stay with it a little longer, church. More than ending a service, I want to get you to step into something. Not emotional. There's a place here. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for healing right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for wisdom and an idea right now going into their mind in the name of Jesus. I thank you for peace right now for those who've been tormented. They're going to feel rest and peace in the name of Jesus. We call the order of God into this house right now over their lives. Father, I thank you. We look to you. Thank you, Father God, for your rest. Thank you for energy right now that's flowing in the bloodstream of those individuals that are lacking energy. I thank you for the oxygen count going up and energy and life in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God. We thank you for balance in their body. We thank you. I speak balance. I call the order of God into their blood count, the order of God into the vitamins in their system, the order of God into every part of their system. Thank you, Father God. We thank you, Father God. You are more than enough. You are more than enough. You are more. We repent for trying to force a solution in an area that you did not call us to walk down. But we back up and we look to you. We look to heaven, that you are the direction. You are the guide. Our steps are ordered of you. Thank you for wisdom and insight. I thank you that you're opening the minds of people right now. You're opening the eyes of people right now by the anointing of spirit, the anointing of wisdom and revelation, that their eyes will be open to know the hope of your calling. Thank you, Father God. I curse that arthritis. I thank you for healing right now in that hand and that wrist that was crumbled and could not hold anything of weight. I thank you right now, there's strength. I thank you for healing. 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 I thank you for restored marriage. I thank you, Father God. I thank you for that parent who's been staying up late at night wondering what they're going to do with the child that's out of control. I think we curse and bind the tactic of the enemy against them. That's their seed. Their seed. That's their seed. You said that their seed, if they would serve you, their seed would be strong in the earth. I thank you, Father God. Anything that would take away the strength of God out of their life, we curse and bind it by the authority of the word. I thank you for strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against them will prosper. No weapon. No weapon. No weapon. No weapon. No weapon. And every tongue that rises up against them in judgment, we condemn it. For this is our right, our heritage, our righteousness is up and from you, says your word. We send your word forth. It will not return void. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Father God. Oh, we thank you, you're a good God. You are a good God. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. You are good God, and your mercy endures forever. We thank you, Father God. It's the goodness of God that leads us back into repentance. We thank you, Father God. There is none good but you. You are ultimate, the top. Thank you, Father God. You are good. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Father. We thank you. And now we just ask that the rest of God would come upon the hearts of your people right now. Your rest. It's not going to be for everybody, but those who believe it. I thank you, Father. Let your rest just flow, come across this crowd right now upon the hearts and lives of your people. For our rest is in you. Our confidence is in you, Father. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God. Thank you for healing that person's pain in their right side. I thank you, Father God. Healing. I thank you for your peace, your presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. He leads you beside still waters. I hear the Spirit of God saying to somebody, you've been so stressed out trying to resolve it. I'm trying to lead you. Before I bring you to the place of refreshing, I need to lead you to the place of stillness. He leads you by still waters. He restoreth my soul. Learn to come to a place of stillness. Learn to come to a place of rest. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, if this is all head knowledge, none of this probably even makes sense. Might even sound a little weird. But when you have experienced him, in the way you process, in the way you analyze, in the way you look at life, have you experienced in a way that you know without a question, shadow, or doubt that he is real and he's your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, you can. Revelation 3, he says, I stand at the door and I knock. If you open up, give me an opportunity, I'll come in. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. This is just between you and the Lord. Draw a circle around yourself, just between you and Jesus. Examine your life, examine your heart. It's not about just trying to follow a bunch of rules of what you have to do or what you can't do. It's a real relationship in a way that you know for yourself. you're ready, if this is your moment, pray this prayer with me if you don't know him and want to. Say the simple prayer that Romans 10 and Romans 5 will tell us brings eternal life. Pray with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I turn to you today. I repent of all my sins. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you in. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want to ask you to do something at the count of three. Some people are quick, some people are slower. Some are bold, some are passive and quiet. I understand that. But if you're here today and you prayed that prayer, you say, Pastor, that prayer is for me. I prayed that prayer and I know Jesus answered and I'm saved. If that was you, at the count of three, I want you, I'm not going to ask you to do anything unusual. I'm just going to ask you to stand to your feet. We're going to celebrate with you, and I want to speak a special prayer and blessing over your life for praying that. Because you don't run this race by yourself. We do it as a team. It's a church. Amen? So at the count of three, if you prayed that prayer and you mean business with God, I'm going to pray for supernatural strength and boldness as you leave this place today if you're standing. Because it's one thing to stand in a house in front of people that are clapping for you. It's another thing to stand in the world when people are trying to distract you. We need his strength. Amen? Amen. So if that's you, at the count of three, and you prayed that prayer, I want you to stand to your feet. One, two, three. Stand to your feet right now. Who am I talking to? Stand to your feet. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? Come on. Keep giving a hand clap. Thank you. Thank you. Two there. Two there. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? If that was you, stand to your feet. Don't miss your blessing. You got to make them. Thank you. Center. God bless you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Anybody else? You got to meet this. Stay standing. Stay standing. We're going to pray for you. Stay standing if you stood. Stretch your hands toward these people. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing in their lives and all our lives. But we thank you for these ones that have just come back to you. I thank you, according to your word, that you can strengthen them with might by your spirit in the inner man. So I pray for anointing to come upon them and in them. Let them be filled with your spirit. We thank you, Father, for supernatural strength and boldness. We seal them with the blood of Jesus. And I thank you, Father God, that they will run their race that you've called for them. They will be strong in the Lord. They will finish the course. And we will see them in heaven, having fulfilled the destiny that you have for them. I call that so in their life. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Give them a big hand clap.